Hello, everyone. Welcome to the CMDA podcast. I'm Singh Pallett, the president of CMDA and medical director for Optum. Here with us today is Leslie Eber. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure, Singh. I'm Dr. Leslie Eber, and I'm the immediate past president of CMDA and a doctor with Rocky Mountain Senior Care. Thanks for having me.
We're so glad. I know that you have some tips for us to have a happy and safe Thanksgiving. How very timely. As usual on this podcast, we like to start with a case. And I know that today you have a very personal case to bring up.
I do. I thought I'd use the case of my own family. So we are going to be gathering in New York City for our Thanksgiving, and we're coming from a lot of different places. We're coming from Washington, D.C., from Colorado, and from Pennsylvania. And we'll all be arriving to have our Thanksgiving dinner at my parents' house in New York City. And so we have thought about how we'd like to prepare for a safe and happy Thanksgiving. And I wanted to share six tips that we're going to do with our family, and we thought we'd share them with everyone else.
Thank you. Thanks for putting the tips together for all of us. My family's not coming from so far away. We're just Golden and Lakewood, Colorado. Maybe
so it's
we'll
a
meet
little
somewhere in between.
It's a little closer.
Yeah.
So the first thing that we are talking about, and well in advance of Thanksgiving, is we want to make sure, of course, that everybody is vaccinated and boosted with the bivalent vaccine. And so our whole family has now had the bivalent vaccine. But you really want to make sure that you talk about that well in advance, not just the day before Thanksgiving. And the second thing we'll do is to be careful the week before, even 2 weeks before, and avoid going to parties or large indoor gatherings and wearing a mask when we do things in public indoor spaces. We want to be as sure as we can that when we're starting this journey to Thanksgiving, that we're starting it out healthy. The third thing we're talking about is testing. So everybody's going to test before they start their journey to Thanksgiving, so that they know when they're starting that we're all negative. And then we're all going to test on Wednesday and Thursday. My aunt just lives a few blocks away from my parents, and so she's going to test on Thursday morning before she comes over. The tests aren't perfect, but it's another added layer to make sure that we're all safe for our big Thanksgiving celebration. It's just going to be the seven of us, my two children, my husband and I, my parents, and my aunt. So I'm going to bring some extra tests to share in case we need them. Singh, what are you guys going to do the day of Thanksgiving?
Well, I think like you, we're going to make sure that we're all vaccinated well before Thanksgiving. And I agree with you completely. I know that we have some evidence we'd like to share with the audience too about other compelling reasons to get vaccinated. But we're definitely on board for that. And the one person in my family, my husband, who has not been boosted with the bivalent, he is planning to get his very shortly. And we also, because we know the holidays are coming up, like you, just thinking about ways that we can cut back on some of the other indoor large gatherings to decrease our risk of getting infection and decrease the transmission risk so that we can be a little safer when we want to get together for Thanksgiving. I think that's very practical and very reasonable to do.
Yeah, I agree. And I also thought that the latest article from the from JAMA from October 18th, 2022, so it's pretty recent. It's always great to see that when you get that vaccine, not only do you decrease your risk of getting an infection, but if you get an infection, you'll be less likely to have symptoms. And your symptoms would last for a shorter period of time. And actually, for this article, they showed that there's a decrease of viral load if you're fully vaccinated. And so those are all pretty good things for getting vaccinated. And of course, I'm always talking to our staff as well that every time you get vaccinated, you do decrease your risk of getting long COVID. And I think that's kind of a game changer for our staff and our families and our residents. Nobody wants to struggle with long COVID.
Yeah, I agree. I think that when we try to think of only severe COVID and outcomes like hospitalization and death, that can seem so far off or remote for some people. And talking about long COVID really hits it home to anyone. And I know that after I got my bivalent booster, I felt kind of sick for about 2 days. It was only for 2 days, and I recovered, and I'm glad that I'm protected. But I know that right now, for our Colorado long-term care facilities, this week, as of October 25th, the Department of Health has data that shows that in our long-term care facilities, the residents are at 69.2% for being up to date with vaccination. But among our staff, that number is 55.3%. Are you seeing some resistance in people, like staff members, against getting their booster vaccinations?
Yeah, it's been a hard needle to thread both locally and nationally. Some of the other conversations that I'm having is reminding people that when they, this is another JAMA article, that when they have side effects to the COVID-19 bivalent vaccine, it often shows that they have a great antibody response, that they're super protected. So when, if you were to get a side effect, you should kind of feel good about it, that you're really your body is doing exactly what we hope it to do, and it's going to protect you in the future. So, a lot of our younger staff, I am talking about long COVID. I'm talking to them also about protecting not only our community, but their family, and especially any elder people in their family or those who are immunosuppressed. It's a great opportunity to do some good to get your bivalent vaccine.
Well, thank you for making me feel better about being sick after my vaccine. I love your idea of bringing tests so that people can test and it's right there in front of them and it's hard to have an excuse not to test.
Yeah, I agree. On Thursday morning before our meal, we're just going to have a testing party and just make sure we're all good to go. My fourth tip is to watch out for symptoms, of course, to test if you have them, but that test is not always the end all be all, because we know that really the recommendation is that you test on day one, three, and five. So three tests in 5 days. So if you're having symptoms and you test and it is negative, don't bet on that. And make a plan in advance, be a hero, don't go to Thanksgiving. And if you're traveling, so we've looked into different hotel rooms right near my parents' apartment that we could utilize if needed, if someone's positive. So we're not kind of creating that plan on Thursday morning, but we have it planned in advance.
That's great to think ahead for that so that people can still feel like there's a way to participate because there's this other avenue that's already been thought of ahead of time.
Yeah, I agree. And then
In
our
terms
fourth,
of,
go ahead.
oh, I just wanted to mention in case people need a resource, that in terms of symptoms, the CDC does encourage self-symptom monitoring. You can just go online and see what are the symptoms of COVID-19. And it's not just about a cough. People can have fevers or chills or a cough. There can be shortness of breath or difficulty breathing, fatigue and muscle aches. Headaches and a loss of taste or smell can be very special to COVID infection. And also, this season, we're seeing a lot of symptoms we may not think of as being a respiratory infection, but the sore throat or runny nose, and even nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea can be indicative of COVID.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot of that as well in our patients. A lot of times people think they have this time of year some allergies, but if you're having that runny nose, it's always best to test.
Thank you.
So the fifth idea that we're talking about in our family is everybody's going to wear masks as they travel. So if you're going through the airport, even before you enter the airport, we're going to put on our masks and we're going to wear them until we leave the airport on the other side. And my son's going to drive, so he has his own car, so he doesn't really have to wear a mask in his car. But everybody else will mask and make sure that they're diligent while traveling.
That
And then
makes
the,
sense. Something simple you can do.
yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
And then the sixth idea is to talk about ventilation. And Singh, I was so excited when you showed me the World Health Organization recommendations because they were such doable ideas in our own homes to crack a window, to open up the window every hour, and to get that cross ventilation if you open up the door and the window. Is that something you're going to do with, in your neck of the woods?
I hope so. If it's not snowing and freezing cold, I guess you never know. But you're right. Even if the weather's not great and we wouldn't normally open a window, it does make sense that having some fresh air, even just once an hour, would be a good way to get the air circulating and get some ventilation within a space that may normally not have it. I think the resource that came from WHO also included that even if you're in a space that has air conditioning or heating or a ceiling fan, if there's not an open window, turning that on, the heating, the ventilation, heating, air conditioning, or fan may not actually give you fresh circulating air. And you could, in fact, be spreading the virus within the space if there's not proper ventilation.
Yeah, that was something that I thought we everyone should remember. So thank you.
Yeah. I know that when we had our CMDA meeting last spring, we knew that we couldn't change the environment too much because it wasn't our space. You can't put windows in when there aren't any. But even just using what's there and being mindful of ventilation issues or anything else that would help with the environmental risk of mitigating COVID, you can do that.
Yeah, that was so helpful. We were so pleased to provide that layered protection at our conference. And now I'm going to apply a lot of those principles to our Thanksgiving gathering. I always also want to remind people that there are a lot of things we can't control. We can't control which variant is circulating among us, but vaccines is something we can choose that we can control. And it's such a good way to protect ourselves and our family, especially before Thanksgiving, but really every day for the residents that we serve and our family and our community. So it's a great choice.
Thank you for being so considerate for those within your immediate circle and then the people that you work with too.
One of the other things that we're going to do during our Thanksgiving is my aunt is really diligent about her safety. And so she's going to wear her mask when we're sitting on the couch and we're just visiting. And we want to make sure that she feels comfortable when she's doing what she needs to do to stay safe. So we really want to be inclusive and be respectful. People will have different levels of safety that they'll feel comfortable with. And it's really important to let people know that that's all okay. So my aunt may be wearing her mask, and some of us may not be during our pre-dinner party, and that's fine. And even if a family member wants to visit for during Zoom, including all family members in a way that makes them feel safe and honored, it's a great opportunity to celebrate what the season's all about is Thanksgiving.
Oh, what a great way to put it. Great.
So I hope that everybody has a great Thanksgiving. I hope these tips will help you plan in advance to have a happy and safe Thanksgiving.
Thanks for the great advice, and I hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving too.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.